ahead of the Democratic National Convention next week, we finally have a Biden running mate. And she is history in the making, Ms. Kamala Harris. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week, especially leading up to the November election, wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, good morning.
This is a good morning. We haven't had very many good mornings in a very, very long time. I think the last one was when Biden won in South Carolina. As you know, I'd been backing him from the beginning. And I thought, boy, he's lost the plot and we've lost the opportunity here. But the American people, if you look back on it, always turn to Papa Joe when the nation's in trouble. FDR, etc. The people who appear to have a steady hand. That was actually true of Ronald Reagan. He was Papa Reagan. And Joe is Papa Joe. I think the fact that he fumbles a little bit makes you think like he's Grandpa. And he's chosen someone who doesn't fumble at all, which makes you think he's astute.
Well, this is, of course, the exciting news this week. We finally have a Biden running mate, and of course, it's Kamala Harris, former district attorney, attorney general for California, senator, and now vice presidential hopeful. Ed, first thoughts?
My first thoughts is I'm getting my Harris for President stickers ready because she will be the Democratic candidate. And the real question is who she will choose for her running mate. Joe really has basically said, this is a transition period for me. He'll stay in a little longer if it's needed, but he's really transitioning. And she's young enough for one term or two terms. But I anticipate he's going to be there for one term. Actually, without him saying it directly, he said it indirectly, which makes the American people feel more comfortable. They say we can't have a shipwreck for four or more years, and this guy turns out to be a shipwreck we can abandon. And if we abandon ship, there's another good ship right next door. So I think he made the right decision for all the right reasons.
Trump has been shaping up to make this campaign a lot about the protests in U.S. cities, framing Democrats as weak on law and order or indeed encouraging civil disobedience. Harris, for Democrats, her record might be even a little too severe on law and order. Will she help nullify those attacks?
Well, I think she'll help nullify them because if the people go into the streets again and maybe for Joe Biden and for Kamala Harris in real victory parades and very smart things. This is still a very tender issue. And some cop doing the wrong thing in the wrong place will make this continue. But if they win and are able to pass the kind of bills they're talking about, people will think they're on their sides. And the mamas and the grandpas, black, brown, and Asian will come out in the streets in support of making the country right. And that's what we need right now.
And of course, as you alluded to there, Ed, there is some concern. I mean, it echoes John McCain in 2008 that Biden is too old to reliably finish his term, positioning Harris to become the first female president. Now, Trump is already falling back on the nasty woman line of attacks, calling Harris nasty and the meanest U.S. senator. Now, Harris, she's a woman, she's black, she's South Asian, she's unapologetic, she's not backing down. Is it going to work for or against her?
She's a nasty piece of work. He's just saying she's scaring the crap out of me. And that's what people want to hear. And she is. She's been very tough. If you've ever seen her in hearings, boy, she takes no prisoners. I think people, particularly in the suburbs, want to hear that. They don't care what color she is. They know she's real. She's not politicizing when she's up there on the stand. She's the real deal. So I think the fact that he's calling her nasty is actually working in her favor. She's nasty enough to do the dirty work. That's what he's saying. Interestingly enough, the Republicans are of two minds. One, to call her a nasty, devilish piece of work, and the other to say she's tough on crime, so she'll be tough on black people. Well, those things don't really mix very well. So they don't know how to attack her. That's marvelous. So they'll attack from both directions and cancel one another out.
Whereabouts is the rest of Biden's team? We've talked before about Biden having this great team behind him, but they've been pretty much as quiet as pretty much as quiet as Biden has been, while Trump has been sort of busy destroying himself. Are they going to be coming out more now that the VP slot is locked in?
Well, I thought he would need that because of his own issues, his age, his temperament, and the like, kind of Sleepy Joe approach. But now he has somebody strong by his side, and he's put a lot of signals about who else is coming in. And I would anticipate at least one of the governor of Michigan, will be part of his administration. That's the way she flew all the way to Wilmington. And I anticipate one or two of the other black women will be in this, and the Asian woman, the woman who's a senator from Michigan again. I would expect she will become the head of Veterans Affairs, which will make things very good. I would anticipate that there'll be room for several other women, like the woman from Florida, who was a police chief. She might end up in some very high position, maybe running the FBI. Susan Rice will certainly be the national security advisor. So I would anticipate we've already seen some of the people who are going to come in and be on his team. Now, this is the all-female side of it. The male side of it will start shaping up very soon. And there may be room for a guy named Comey.
We'll circle back around on some of this, but first, looking at some of the news this week, COVID-19, it's all over the news here in Australia, as you know, states, particularly Victoria, struggle to lock it down. New Zealand, they've gone into lockdown over a few cases cropping up out of nowhere. In the United States, it's completely disappeared out of the news, despite 165,000 deaths and rising. Anything going on?
Well, I think there are a couple things going on. It is going down in the United States, so there are people breathing a slight sigh of relief. But the big issue is the schools. So COVID has taken a back seat directly, but the school openings have taken the front seat. And people are afraid to open the schools, and people are afraid not to open the schools. I think it's very clear that children do best in environments where they're working together. Something novel has to come up here. The proposal I've had for a while is having neighborhood workshops, taking the ground floor and a grandstand across the street from me, which used to be a play center. And making those hubs and using the local libraries as hubs where kids can come together, the older ones, to study once a week or twice a week and go out on the football field or whatever in controlled environments. So I think we'll see school in a slightly different manner. Some private schools have already done that by having schools on 3 days a week, and you come just one of those days, and part of the day is socializing. Part of the day is tuition and your subjects, some coaching and tutoring with all the social distancing and the like. I think that's what we're going to come to, and that's for the next couple of years. As New Zealand has shown, you just can't stamp this out. Hong Kong thought they had it stamped out. Taiwan thought they had it stamped out. Korea thought they had it stamped out. It will not go away. It's going to be a disease we manage.
And on the financial relief side of things, over the weekend, Trump approved an executive act to provide unemployment benefits of $400 a week to Americans. Or that's what he claimed. That's actually going to be $100 less, $300 a week. How are unemployed and struggling Americans coping at the moment?
Well, have you ever seen that shell game where the guy has a peanut shells and a little nut in it, and you got to figure out what's under that? If you read those executive orders, it doesn't say that's what's going to happen. And when his people are asked, well, is everyone going to get $400 a month? Well, yes, they will if they sign up for this and they sign these documents, and we're going to use money that was left over. Well, there wasn't any money left over, or very little that wouldn't go around to make up to the $300. No one has received one penny yet. And it only takes one American to sue. And that person's probably going to be an ex-member of Congress from the left or the right, or some little executive group that says, this is a constitutional botch. You can't do this. Only the House of Representatives and the Senate have the right to pass money bills, as it's true here. So the Democrats are not going to attack this. They're going to let it fail on its own. And that will be a bigger disaster for him. He did not forgive anybody's mortgage. He said there should be an investigation of how this might be done. When somebody comes around and raises the Trump flag and the person's from the sheriff's office, they're going to say, news to me. I haven't seen any document like this. And the other aid for workers and things like this aren't even covered. The student loans, I've been harping on this from the beginning. I said Trump should forgive the student loans. That would make him popular forever. But now that he's done it, it's a bit too late. And the people are already up and hock up into their eyeballs and have their rents to pay. So they don't think much of this. And by the way, another president, Clinton, allowed for that, and he's simply doing what Clinton provided. I think the interesting thing about this stimulus is nobody's talking about it.
The Great American Outdoors Act. Supporters say this is the most significant conservation act enacted in half a century, devoting nearly $3 billion a year to conservation projects, outdoor recreation, and maintenance of national parks and public lands. Trump compared it to the works of Teddy Roosevelt, who famously worked to preserve many of America's natural areas. But will it be enough to make up for all the environmental legislation Trump and Republicans have been slashing for the past 4 years?
It doesn't even make up for what they've done. So it's kind of, we tore down your parks, and now we're paying to have two or three of the swings redone. No one's clapping their hands about this. Again, it's a little, too late, too unimportant, given the environmental damage that was done. And by the way, the Democrats put this bill forward. Come on.
Looking abroad, Lebanon, Prime Minister Hassan Diab and his cabinet have stepped down following the protests that came after that enormous and tragically avoidable blast in Beirut, but still a long, long way from reform or recovery. What's going on?
Well, the government has deteriorated, has fallen apart. We actually have a government in Washington, D.C. that we could send over there. A government that really knows how to handle a crisis, and I'm sure the Lebanese would reject them, but a leftover half-baked government. I think Lebanon has a very difficult problem because their governments are made up of religious cobbles that the Catholics get so many people, the Muslims get so many people, Hezbollah's in there and so on. It's this kind of mosaic that just doesn't seem to work because no one is really in charge. So even if you have a government, it can't do anything. And that problem has to be solved before they can move forward. You have to have a government that's truly in charge and not just papering over the problems by having a couple of Catholics here and a couple of Muslims there and some Mennonites here and there. This has to be a government where people actually have the talent to do the job, and they're not ready for that yet. Aid agencies are providing funds, but they'll do as we've done in many crises I've been involved in. The agencies will form an aid nonprofit that will actually deliver all the materials and things through that nonprofit and not through the government. So the hospitals would be repaired by people who work for the nonprofit. None of the money will go into the government's hands. And I suspect a good colleague of mine, my former student, Joe Lightman, will be called on to help at least show how this can be done. Joe's a little bit in difficulties right now. He's holed up in his apartment in Washington, D.C., but I think all of a sudden he's going to get a job because he's done this around the world in disasters, and Lebanon's a disaster, and Joe's a tough guy. He might take on this job.
TikTok, Trump has signed an executive order effectively banning the social media app from next month, as other countries like India have done out of fears it is stealing data on behalf of the Chinese government. It very probably is doing exactly that, but any thoughts, Ed?
No, I'm not really on top of this one. I think the Chinese have used all kinds of mechanisms to steal things around the world. This is just another one. But let's be clear here. Every government in the world is stealing stuff from other governments. If they weren't, there wouldn't be any CIA or Mossad or even the papacy. That's the biggest spy agency in the world. The Pope has more spies than anybody would exist. So having scandalized myself by that remark, I think I better shut up.
Just speaking of which, though, last week, Hong Kong, citing COVID, have delayed the 2020 legislative election until next year. The White House immediately denounced the action, rightfully so, saying it undermines the democratic processes and freedoms that have underpinned Hong Kong prosperity. Completely without irony, noting that Trump had literally just floated doing the exact same thing with even less reasoning. It is troubling, though, and we've seen further crackdowns this week. Any thoughts, Ed?
Just the thoughts you've already recited. This is a cat calling the kettle black. I don't know how the United States can talk about protecting democracy when we have a government that's doing everything it can to destroy its own internal democracy. The Brits are no better off. Hong Kong is in deep trouble. On the other side of that, the Hong Kong currency is what the Chinese really need to do business in the world. Their currency isn't worth anything. So how the Chinese are going to make this work is still not clear, but they need some semblance of a government there that can manage a currency in one of the largest stock markets in the world for their own good. The Shanghai market will never, ever be what the Hong Kong market is.
Circling back on the election, the conventions this year are going to be a little awkward with COVID happening. Democrats are having theirs this upcoming week, where Biden will officially accept the nomination. Trump, he doesn't want to do a convention in front of a bunch of empty seats, and at one point floated the idea of accepting the Republican nom from the Oval Office, a suggestion that was quickly shouted down. How important are these conventions going to be in the race, Ed?
They'll be really important to the Democrats. And the fact that Democrats are holding one, and they've been thinking about it for a long time, they know how it can work. So I think Milwaukee will be the kind of show we just saw today with Kamala, where they're going to pre-rehearse these people and they'll have good backgrounds behind them and deliver stirring speeches to the American people. I think the Democratic lineup, if you've seen it, is really impressive, including the former governor of Ohio, who's going to back Joe Biden, and he was a Republican. So it's a very impressive lineup. Bernie will be there. Everyone else that's important in the Democratic constellation will be there, both from the right side of that constellation, from the middle and the left. So I think this will be a good show. The Republicans don't have a show. And so if they have a convention, it will be Hannity and people like that, Hannity rather, and people like that. It's not going to be a political show. And I think that will hurt them more than help them.
And in terms of dirty tricks this election, Republicans are pretty much full of them. Combined with non-stop attacks on mail-in voting, they have absolutely torn apart the United States Postal Service. Is this going to have an impact?
Well, the way things are going, the Democrat will win without any mail-in votes, unless the state requires that everyone mail in. I think Trump is so far behind at this point, 8 points nationally, and it looks like it's moving to 10, that he can't win under any circumstances, and mail-in won't make any difference at all.
And in an interview last week, increasingly unstable presidential hopeful Kanye West of the Birthday Party all but admitted his campaign is working in concert with Republicans to try and draw votes away from Joe Biden. Any precedents on this?
Well, as you know, there was a Green candidate in the last election that took away votes from Hillary, but she was a real candidate with a real set of policies and could ride on Bernie's coattails. In this case, Kanye is unfortunately a sick kid, and people know it, and it's an insult to blacks. And this is what the Republicans have to be careful of. The people who vote in the black community are not the rock folk. They're the people who go to church. They're the people who turn out and for Sunday dinners and picnics. They're the people who have good jobs. Kanye West is not in that mix. I can't figure out how white people think a black person, no matter how stupid or whatever, represents other black people. This is going to really bite them in the rear, and the Democrats are going to use it against the Republicans.
And just before I let you go, Ed, reportedly last year, this is according to the New York Times, the White House inquired with South Dakota's governor about the possibility of adding a fifth face to Mount Rushmore. Governor Kristi Noem said Trump told her during a meeting in the Oval Office, "Do you know it's my dream to have my face on Mount Rushmore?" How do you like the thought of that one, Ed? Trump's face up there alongside Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt.
I happen to have, for those who come to my video site on Facebook, that photo with Trump up there on Mount Rushmore. It looks a bit like a sad old man with a crumbling hairdo on Mount Rushmore. You know, it's like he says, well, Time magazine wanted me to put me on their cover, and the Yankees wanted me to throw out the first pitch. Can he think beyond himself at all? How does this man get up every day and do anything? And the truth of the matter is, if you've seen his executive schedule, he does nothing. He starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. He may have one meeting in the afternoon, and the rest is executive time, watching television. He is not governing the United States and not even trying to. And I know where his face will be. Have you seen those things with your numbers below your name and your height and so forth in the background? I think that's the picture we'll get of Trump in the Manhattan DA's office.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest news and, of course, the run-up to November. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.